The 27th season and the 25th anniversary of Big Brother starts on Thursday. What better way to bring in the year than to predict the season before any of the house guests step into the Big Brother house with a cast assessment? If you want to know my preseason rankings for Big Brother 26, it were pretty much a mess. I'll be straight up with you. Matt, the first boot, and Quinn, who was just a strategic mess, were my number one and number two pick, respectively. I had Chelsea ranked as the seventh best player in the house. I am not usually good at picking out the winners right away, but without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's not waste any more time and dive into the 25th anniversary, the 27th season. I have this list broken down into three distinct tiers. The true contenders tier, there are four players that belong into that tier, and then underneath that, I have the I see the wheels turning tier. These are the players where I see the potential, but I just don't have them as a true contender just yet. And then I got potential good TV. These are the people that I think have the opportunity to be really solid characters on the show. I think if they apply the strategy that they explained in their preseason interview, they could go far. And then I got could probably win competition, but their strategy I'm not really sold on. These are the players that I think would dominate in a season like Big Brother 19, Big Brother 21. And if it goes a certain way, these are a group of people that I think could really take the game by the horns, but I'm not very high on their strategic minds. And then finally, I have the no shot tier. There are three players in that tier. Let's start things off with the no shot tier. At the bottom of the no shot tier, I have Kelly. Her strengths were that she's social and she can read people. People that say things like this don't really do much for me because that's stuff that everybody says. And her weaknesses are going to be the competitions and her not being very competitive. She said that, and she's going to be on a competitive reality TV show. She already kind of looks like she could be an outcast, perhaps. She's also somebody who has no strategy coming in. She literally said she wants to lay low, hopefully make jury, and then hopefully make it to the end. Like, okay, that's literally the strategy of anybody that wants to go on Big Brother. Kelly will not win. She has a 0% chance of winning Big Brother 27. Coming in at number 15 and second on this tier, I have Amy. She talked about a women's alliance pretty much her whole entire preseason interview. Well, yes, it may be cool for a women's alliance to get together. And honestly, I could kind of see the dynamics of the women that are in this house potentially working for a women's alliance. I could see a lot of these women working together. So Amy may end up getting shot up the power rankings if this all women's alliance does finally work. Likely not going to happen, especially with how many strong males are in the cast. Much like Kelly, she said her biggest weakness is going to be the competitions. She said she is afraid of competitions. So you got Kelly, who said that she is not very competitive, and then you have Amy, who says she is afraid of the competitions and wants to start an all-women's alliance. During her preseason interview, it seemed like that was really just the whole premise of what she wanted to do. She mentioned it quite a bit. As like a player comparison, she reminds me kind of like a Chemo from last season or like a Jasmine from Big Brother 24. Coming in at number 14, I have Catherine. Now, Catherine is an interesting case because when I was watching her preseason interview, I was reminded of a certain player, and that player is Leah. I was very bored during Catherine's preseason interview. Much like Leah's, I skipped through it, and Catherine's was the first interview that I skipped through. So basically, she said she's going to use her PR degree and her job as a waitress as her strategy. And you know, Leah kind of said some stuff along the same lines as being like a business owner. That's how I'm going to use my strategy, and then I'm going to be everybody's friend. I may flirt a little bit. If she is going to be like Leah, then we could be in for like a little bit of a shocker here. She could make it far. This is one, not like really Amy or Kelly. Catherine is somebody that I could be prepared to eat crow for, but as of right now, she's number 14 overall and is on top of the no shot tier. So now we move on to the next tier, which is could probably win competitions, strategy, not sure. So we got four players in this tier. And the thing is with these four players, if the competitions kind of break out in their favor, I could see this kind of being a four-person alliance and maybe even bringing along the likes of the people that are at the bottom tier of this list and making it somewhat of a boring season because it's going to be based on competition results, and they're going to bring those lower right players because they could beat him at the end. I could just see that happening. And at the bottom of this list, at number 13, I have Isaiah. Isaiah literally has zero strategy, but luckily adaptability is one of his biggest strengths. He talked about adaptability a ton in this interview. He did say that he is not interested in getting into a showmance, which I was very surprised to hear. The thing with Isaiah is he will not be a strategic threat at all, but he will be a competition beast. And one thing that I will give him credit for is he did say he is aware that winning too much can make him a target early on. And one of the funnier things he said was that he doesn't know if he'll say that he's in sales because he says people have been targeted for that before. And have they? I don't recall that. Coming in at number 12, I have Lauren. Lauren kind of gave me the same vibes that Catherine gave me before. Pretty boring, but kind of seems like she could win more competitions. Said that the show has never seen a Southern Belle who crushes comps and gets to the end. I'm pretty sure Mackenzie was a Southern gal, and she was a comp beast, and she made it to the end, so, and she really talked heavily on the competitions. She is going to be really heavily relying on that. Doesn't seem like she's going to be that interesting of a character. Very Mackenzie-esque. She could win some competitions, but she doesn't seem like she would be too much entertaining TV. Coming in at number 11, I have Riley. I don't have a whole lot written down for him, because he didn't really offer a whole heck of a lot in terms of what he wanted to do strategically. He's just a fun-loving bull rider, man. He is going to just really rely on being likable. And he's obviously a professional bull rider, so physically he is definitely going to be capable of winning some of these competitions. But I think he is somebody that wants to rely more on his relationships. Not a lot to say about Riley, but I think that he does have quite a bit of a likability factor. And I think that could carry him further and deeper into the game. And finally, on top of this list, I have Morgan. Morgan is a gamer girl. I feel as though she is going to remind us of that a lot this season. She was very comfortable in the diary room. She knew how to talk to the camera. She knew how to talk about what she's going to do and describe it. However, I'm already sick of hearing the term gamer girl. Her strategy is to not win early and rely on her social game. I was hoping for more in that aspect. She did go on to kind of explain how she wants to play this game, like how she plays her video games. But even then, it was kind of a long-winded answer to, I feel like, just talk about what kind of video game she plays. Like, it didn't really have anything to do with Big Brother. She's like, I play first person shooters. I also play battle royales. And maybe it was such a good analogy that it went completely over my head. But as somebody who can talk that well to the camera, she's a former Division I track athlete. And I think that if the house goes a certain way and she finds herself in the power dynamics, Morgan is a player to keep your eye on. Now we get to the fun tier, which is potential good TV. Now, these are players that I think could possibly be some of my favorite house guests, but I don't know if I'm high on their chances of winning. Coming in at number 9, I have Adrian. Adrian was one of the more interesting interviews of the bunch, perhaps the most interesting. He claims that he studied the strategical, social, and the physical game, and he said strategical, social, and physical so much. It's like, holy cow, I think he's somebody that could say those three words three times fast and wouldn't even get tongue-tied. That's how much he studied it. A lot of what he said, it just felt like he couldn't really, you know, speak it into existence. And I think that's where he is going to kind of falter. I do think he is an extreme super fan of the show. He built his own wall competition in his backyard. He prepared himself slop. He's done everything that a Big Brother super fan would do to prepare for the show. Even though he's done all that stuff, the way that he went about trying to explain what he would do didn't really sound like he had a plan. It just sounded like somebody who went in and studied but doesn't really know how to show their work, if you know what I'm saying. Because he would say things like he studied the strategical, social, and the physical. He would say things like the game has a beginning, a middle, and an end. You're saying a lot of stuff that we all know, and you're not really providing any additional information for us. I think he's a little too scatterbrained to have success long term. He did talk about how he wants to keep the competition beast around around, to which there seems to be plenty of them, because they respect a good game in his mind. I don't know if I believe that off the top of my head, no, of any examples of that, but maybe he's right. He has studied the strategical, social, and physical aspects of Big Brother, so he could be right about that. He's somebody who I think knows what he wants to do, but he can't explain it well, and makes me think that he will not apply it well. But I do think he's going to be a fun watch. He really wants to be the GOAT, which I think was cool to hear, and I think is really fun, because I don't think you really hear that very much. You don't really hear players come in and say, I'm here for the intention of being the best player to ever play the game. But Adrian said that coming in at number 8 and the second to bottom player in this list, I have Zach. I think he knows the kind of game that he will play. He knows people will show their cards early, and he explained it well, and he explained kind of what to do to expose that and how he will use that for his advantage. And he was another dude, like pretty much all of these guys, claimed he was the complete package. He had the social, he had the physical, he had the strategical, he literally had everything. Zach is the complete package. We should all just go home and give him the $750,000. He does seem like he's going to go balls to the wall and could be a key piece to an alliance. He knows he's going to be perceived as a threat and does want to instead push the fact that he is a pastor's son, which is all fine and good, but he also said during this interview that he is not going to lie about being a former professional baseball player, which seems kind of silly. If you're trying to downplay that physical threat, I really don't think you should say you were a professional baseball player. You should say that you work for the ministry or something. I don't know. I don't do church. I don't know if that's a real thing, but I think you should really completely commit to that bit. He also said hopefully there's going to be basically a consensus target for week one, like an Angela, which I thought was hilarious because Angela didn't get kicked out. She went pretty deep and kicked out a guy that kind of looked like Zach. So, you know, hopefully you're not the guy that goes home, Zach. He wants a secret final two and kind of wants a lot of alliances, and he knows that that's going to be a risky game, but he feels like he has the strategic wherewithal to kind of navigate that. And he also said that he wants to play like a mashup of Chelsea, McKenzie, and Tucker. Give me just the three best players from last year. Slam them all together. Give it to me. I really think this is a guy that could win the game if the stack favors him. He doesn't seem like somebody who's afraid to take risks, but there are some things that he said that makes me think that he could make dumb decisions as well. So I think having him right in the middle of the pack is where Zach should be. And on top of the potential good TV tier list, I have my ultimate sleeper. I have Ava. Really talked about how broke she was for a majority of this interview. She talked about being broke and reading auras for a majority of this interview. She's just kind of a funny gal. She mentioned that she's not afraid to be the villain. I have a feeling about Ava. I don't have a whole lot to say about her, but she does seem like she's going to be good TV, especially if she sticks around for a while. I think she is the better version of what CBS wanted Lisa to be. Ava's a sleeper, man. Keep your eyes on her. I think she could potentially go far in this game. And next up, we have the I See the Wheels Turning. These are players that I could see potentially winning the game, but they just missed out on my true contenders list. And coming in at number 6, I have Keanu. Keanu is somebody who, at the beginning of his interview, I was like, this guy's a recruit. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. This guy seems like Cam from last season, yada, yada, yada. But then he brings up like a Big Brother 6 moment. I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe this guy is a fan. And then he started talking about how he wants to connect with people like Enzo, but Enzo didn't use his social capital to gain enough win equity to go to the end and win the game. And then I'm like, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. This guy knows what he wants to do. Kept talking about how he has the charisma to gather people around him and have enough friends to insulate himself. And then I just kind of came around to it. I was like, Keanu is somebody who could win the game if he plays the game that he's talking about here, because if he plays like Enzo and has the social capital to win, and he's huge, he's built, he could definitely win competitions. If this is how he's going to want to come in and play, Keanu's a dark horse and is somebody that could potentially win the game. And coming in at number 5, topping the list of I See the Wheels Turning, I have Mickey. Mickey seems like somebody who really has the eyes on the prize. She really talked about two types of personality traits that I think are going to carry her game, and is something that I think anybody that is playing the game, that if they have these traits, I think are really good for their game. She talked about being intentional and charm. She did come across as a charming player and as a charming person. So if she uses that charm and that intentionality to the best of her advantage, I do think Mickey is somebody to keep an eye on and is a potential winner's candidate. I mean, she's on top of this list for a reason, and now let's dive into our true contenders for the Big Brother 27 crown. And coming in at number 4, I believe his name is Will, but his name is Clifton on the charts. You see a 50-year-old man on the show, and you, usually in the game of Big Brother, you would automatically kind of put him at the bottom of the list, but he really kind of swooped me the other way. And one of the first things that I liked about him is that he's a women's college basketball podcast host. And the fact that he's a women's college basketball podcast host is going to carry well with the women in the house. He's also a 22-year military vet, and he said that he is not going to tell the house guest about that, which I think is a little weird. I think we did see Cedric do that last year. He didn't tell the players that he was in the military, but I think he had like some sort of special intelligence job. I don't believe Will said exactly what he did in the military. Maybe it's because, you know, the perceived notion, oh, this guy's in the military, he's definitely gonna win. I could see that maybe. And then he started kind of diving into the game, and this is kind of where I started to get the wheels turning that this guy could potentially win if the way that he plays is as good as he described it to be. He mentioned how old people on Big Brother act old, and he's not gonna play like that. I kind of like that ideology. I think he's right. He wants to kind of come in and kind of be a chameleon and blend in with these younger folks. He really started talking about his strategy, which is how he wants to build a 4-person alliance along with him, 2 males and 2 females. In that alliance, he wants somebody who could win comps, a super fan, and another old person. It's going to be interesting to see if he does do something like this. It seems like he moves with a lot of intentionality. For that reason, I have him at number 4. Coming in at number 3, I have Vince. Vince is a super fan and is somebody who I kind of fall for every single year, kind of cut from the same cloth as a Quinn or a Joseph. This is old tree, but I'd usually put him at number 1, but I decided to reel it back, put him at number 3. You could tell that he was a super fan because he had a date when he started watching the show and when he started watching the live feed. He had a strategy where he's going to break down each individual week into mini Big Brother games, and he talked about doing things in a Wawa technique, which is winging it and adapting. And he also said that he could win the game because he's what he considers a master of none. He is good enough at everything to succeed at the show. And I like that. And I think that there's a lot to be said at that mantra, being a master of none and being good enough kind of at everything to succeed at the show, because he's not going to be perceived as a threat because he's just good enough at those certain things. Coming in at number 2, I have Ashley. She is a law student and a pageant girl. I think that is a perfect mix for a Big Brother woman. Big Brother loves both of those things. She also has a track background. She's extremely well-spoken, is going to want to kind of hide her strategic side, perhaps maybe dumb things down a little bit. And she also talked about how a strength of hers is that she is very good at not sharing information until it benefits her. And I think she was really the only person to say something like this. And that's something that I really, really liked. That is one of the biggest keys, if not the biggest key. She gives me a vibe that she is going to be the most strategic thinker of the women on this cast. And I also think that she has the ability to win competitions. She seems likable. Coming in at number 1 and my true contender for the Big Brother 27 crown, I have Jimmy. Jimmy is a strategy consultant, and he talked about how he's not here for the experience. He's here for the win. And you can tell production is going to love him because a lot like Morgan and a lot like Ashley, he was very, very put together in the diary room. He was able to articulate exactly how he wanted to play this game, but the laugh at the end of everything that he said still sticks in my head. Could deal without that. Seems like he is going to play not only a good game, but a fun game. It seems like he's going to give us good TV, and he speaks with a lot of conviction. He's one of the only people that straight up said that he wants to be a villain. A villain who wants to play with strategy never wins this game, so maybe I'm a little bit foolish to put this guy as number 1, but he did talk about wanting to get in those big alliances and then split that into a couple of groups of 3 and a couple of final 2s. And a villain with strategy is usually a really, really fun watch. It's not usually a winning game, but there's just something charming about his smile, and seems like he can stab you in the back and you would still vote for him. He has enough of a strategic mind, obviously has the background, that he would know when to stab people in the back. Basically, his strategy is that he wants to be in a big alliance and then wants to kind of chop it down from there. He wants all of those to kind of value him. He doesn't want to look for those alliances. He wants those people to value him. And I think that kind of takes the blood off of his hands if he gets to the end with those people, because he didn't come up to them and say, hey, I want to be in a final two with you. They came up to him and said, I want to be in a final two with you. And what is he supposed to say? No to a final two? You know, so I think that's kind of brilliant. Out of everybody that they interviewed was the most open about what kind of strategic game he was going to play. So I really, really like that. Jimmy here really seems like he has a plan mapped out, and a plan that if he can execute could bode extremely, extremely well for him. So for that reason, I have him at number one. Alrighty, guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in to this video. Here on my second channel, if you guys want and are comedy fans, you can hop over to my main channel where we talk about stand-up comedy and Kill Tony. I also have a podcast over there with my brother called The Trey and Treve Show. It is a hoot and, dare I say, a holler over there. I will be back here with plenty more Big Brother and Survivor and Traitors Talk. So make sure you subscribe if you are into that. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.